Fast Life. Fast Life is a revolutionary insurance concept where you can get up to $500,000 of quality term life insurance issued immediately over the phone without any medical exam, needles, or doctors required. Fast Life represents the highest rated insurance companies and always quotes the most competitive prices available. Buying life insurance isn't fun, but my friends over at Fast Life make it painless, simple, and quick. Call today to get your lightning fast quote with no obligation whatsoever. Call 800-254-9567. That's 800-254-9567. Or visit us at fastlife.life. And even if you don't need life insurance, you can go to their website and sign a petition for me to be voted into the Hall of Fame. 800-254-9567, fastlife.life. Tell them Pete Rose sent you.
If you're not a fan of change, well, that makes you pretty much like everybody else. But stuff's going to happen. New car, new house, new baby, maybe a new driver in the family. You have enough on your plate, so let your person take care of the insurance part. Just call or email. Let them know what's new and what's up, and they'll handle it. Nice. At Skokman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Don't be afraid of mealtime. Little Caesar's Pizza has Hot and Ready Classic for you. It's hot, it's ready, and you don't even have to order. A large 14-inch pepperoni or cheese pizza hot out of the oven is ready when you are. Pick up Little Caesar's Pizza for a quick, tasty dinner before the little goblins trick-or-treat. And if you need to scare up a bunch of pizzas for your Halloween party, just call ahead and they'll be ready to pick up. At Little Caesars in Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, or Waterloo. Boo!
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
I've been teaching organic chemistry for the last 17 years, so I'm pretty good with complex calculations. But when I started thinking about my retirement, I was pretty stumped. Luckily, I have TIAA as my financial partner. Together, we retrosynthetically analyzed my financial future, which is organic chem speak for we figured it out.
Your personal success takes a financial partner who values it as much as you do. Learn more at TIAA.org.
Back with the On Saturday Morning Coach's Corner program at 11 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. We welcome you in here today. We have coming up later on for you, UNI football at 12 noon on 1600 AM. The Panthers will take on the Missouri State Bears from the Dome today. And then later on tonight, Cubs and the Dodgers at 6 o'clock. That'll be on 1600 AM. Also, Ohio State and Penn State coming up on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. That will be at 6:30. But I'm going to talk to some volleyball to start things off here. Michelle Goodall here. The I guess for this year, what? It's the co-head coach of the... Kennedy volleyball team. And we'll get more into that coming up in a bit. But another very good season for the Cougars on the court. And good to see you. How you been?
I've been well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you were down in Iowa City last night. You had a chance actually to go watch some volleyball.
I know. It's crazy. I hardly take advantage of the free moments that we have to go to college matches, but it was an incredible match. They're doing good things. They were neck and neck, and they could have won it.
Yeah,
it
and Minnesota, one of the top teams in the country.
Absolutely. They are top notch too. So I talked to some of the athletes after the match and some of the staff, and I just said, y'all have so much confidence from this one. You just can just take care of any team coming in with that. I don't know, just the confidence from competing with a team of that caliber. I think that they coming in, it almost seemed as if they thought maybe not, but then as the match unfolded, I think that you could just see them hold themselves up higher and compete even stronger. It was incredible. It was a good match.
Yeah, I mean, great to see all the programs in the state doing very, very well, including Cornell. You got to give them a shout out.
Yeah, a little shout out. Yeah. That's awesome.
For the Rams out there. Well, it's been a, it was a very good regular season, but now you're kind of in a you're in a holding pattern right now. The postseason is underway. You guys had a bye in the first round.
We did.
You haven't played a match in a week.
It's been a while, and it worked out okay because our sickness hit right this week. So for my particular team, this long period from last Saturday until next Tuesday was actually beneficial, so we can get healthy. But it is a long stretch with that bye game, and we will compete again on Tuesday. We will play Marshalltown at home.
Yep, and we'll have more on that coming up in a regional semifinal. Going back to the MVC, probably not the way you wanted to go through the day, but that thing is a many-state tournament almost now.
It is incredible. Every single team, every single matchup, it doesn't matter where they finished in the regular season, everyone is better and everyone's there to compete, and it was... There were some knockdown, drag-out matches. Yeah, we ended up tied for third, which it was okay. Got beat by Linmar in the semifinals, and they're a great team. And we plumb ran out of gas. We lost in the third, and just we had a knockdown, drag-out with Prairie in that quarterfinal match, and it just it took about all of our energy. But yeah, it was a, it's a great tournament. It's a great tournament.
But even a pool win against Iowa City West as well.
Right.
Having to go through those two, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there was, and we played Wash, and they're a much better team. And we played Waterloo East, and even Waterloo East, they may not have the wins that some of these other teams have, but they're athletic.
Mm. And earlier in the week, you won a big match against Xavier.
Right.
That was over at Xavier. Won that 3-1, and to solidify your standing in the division.
Yeah, that there. Like I said, it's like every night out. There's a good battle for you, and so it does prepare as well when we get here into regional play. Quite a few teams have from our conference and our division have the opportunity to advance to state. So it's good for us.
Yeah, and then you have all those Saturday matchups. You go to Des Moines. You went to Moline this year.
We did. That was a great tournament. Yeah, it was fun to see teams that you don't know anybody. You don't know the kids across the net, and it was just good for the kids to kind of take a new approach to a match without a scouting report. Just have them play volleyball, and they thought it was really refreshing.
And just show up.
And just
win the thing.
We did, and it was fantastic, yeah.
And then the West Side, and that one, while the team, not as many teams now, that's still 16 of the best teams in the state.
That's an incredible tournament as well. Jeff does a great job hosting that, and you're, like you said, there's top talent from all the different classes all the way across the state. That was a good one.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter who you play. They're all going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like no, there's no downtime.
Well, how about this team this year? It's kind of describe this team, how they've done and how they progressed throughout the year.
Right. If you looked at our like on the paper, our team from last year and our team from this year, you would think that we may be in a rebuilding year. We graduated like 4 Division I athletes, and they're off doing their amazing things right now. But honestly, if you look a little deeper, the core of our athletes that we had remaining were also very strong. And those athletes merged in with some new talent, and we just have a little different look about us. We may not be the firepower that we had at the front court, but we're real strong in serving and pass, and those are the two elements that will really make a team that will make a long run in the, you know, in the postseason. So we're doing remarkable things as far as ball control, and our kids are finishing on the front end too. So just good defense.
Is it a situation where you may not have that big target on your back this year because kind of everybody had you circled last year?
I think so. And so we're sneaking in and we're taking wins and just kind of gritty and performing. It's fun.
And, how about this team? What are you running, and who are some of the girls that are really standing out this year?
Sure. Right now we're running a 5-1, and our setter is Maddie Palmer, and she's doing a great job. She's a senior. She's going to go on and play next year. We have some middles that are kind of doing some nice work for us, too. Kayla Joyner is our big 6'2" finisher, and she's just doing a stellar job. She's kind of coming into her own and kind of really feeling this and figuring it all out this particular season. She's uncommitted at the time, but some big colleges are looking at her right now. We had a transfer from Prairie, and she's kind of stepped into a role right now, and she's our other middle, Michaela Winter, and she's doing a great job. On our pins right now, we're running Paige Frank, and she's an Iowa commit, and she's one of those all-around athletes that can just do just about anything. And so we just kind of slot her year to year based on what we need. And this year we needed someone to finish outside, and so she's taken that role for us. She leads us in kills at this point with about 3%, so she's doing a great job. And then on our other pin, Emma Booty is running 6 rotations for us, most sets, and she's just a stellar and a really like a craft player. So she just sees the court well and is just putting up some great numbers for us as well. And then on our right side, we have Gabby Meyer, and she is another senior and just, you know, just kind of a gritty performer. Just, you know, nothing really flair, no flair about her, just is strong and will just put the ball down for us. And so she's doing a great job. Our backcourt, I would say the hub of our backcourt right now is our libero, Kendall Meyer, and she's, you know, a 3-time player for us, and she is just doing a rock star performance back there. She's really the hub of what we have going on, and she's a Illinois State commit, and so she's going to go on the next stage as well. But right now for us, she's just doing a great job kind of holding down the communication and the defense for us. We have some other athletes that are kind of chipping in, and they're doing a great job as well. Shelby Cook is another one of our defenders that is getting some reps. Haley Middendorf is another. And so we're rotating in probably, I would say, 10 kids on an average, you know, on an average night out. And so they're really, a lot of kids are contributing to this.
Yeah, and a lot of seniors too. A few juniors sprinkled in, but yeah. These are a lot of seniors out there, so they know the experience.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes a team great in the long run, when you have the leadership from the athletes that have been there before, instead of, you know, trying to come in and have us be the leaders as far as the coaches. It's better if the seniors are the ones that are kind of leading it and kind of setting the tempo for the practices and things like that.
Yeah, and we should talk about the fact that the MVC, just like we said, it's up and down. Every night out is just an absolute,
it's a dogfight, yeah,
battle.
It
this
is
year.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been blessed to be a part of this, because it does really prepare you for the next match and the next match. And it's, honestly, I'd rather have the risk of getting beat by a great team than playing teams that are rollovers. It's a great conference.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll do well in the postseason.
I hope
coming
so too.
Up.
Yeah, we've got a great opportunity. We're the top seed in this region, and if all things go well, you know, we play our game, we should advance.
What do you know about Marshalltown? Have you met them so far?
No, never. This is where you rely on a lot of family members. I had my husband go scout them last week. And he brought home some film. I know. It's like, what are you doing? He brought home some film, and we had an opportunity to watch them. We got a couple of good kids that can really terminate the ball on a real tall right side that we'll have to kind of maneuver around. But, yeah, they're a worthy opponent as well.
Well, then the other side, and the girls have no problem doing this. They kind of throw the maps out. Because you have Dowling or Roosevelt on the other side.
That's
probably
right.
Going to be Dowling. I know you've met Dowling.
I know,
this year.
And Roosevelt's crafty, though. They run an interesting offense with their middle sets, and then it's interesting, and a couple other different layers to that. So we've scouted both quite a lot. We've seen both this season, and so we've got game plans either way, but yeah, both are something. They're both great.
But
great,
you're going to get to host.
Isn't that great? I love
it comes
that.
Down
yeah,
to it.
Yeah. That's new. The Girls Athletic Union put that out a couple years ago, where the top seed will host instead of going to a neutral site. And I think it really helps with gate. And you know, maybe it was motivated by money. I'm not sure, but we really appreciate it. It's
sometimes
nice.
Things are.
It's okay. It's okay in this regard.
But you'll take it.
We'll take it. Absolutely.
You'll take it.
Yeah.
Instead of going to Newton.
All the way to Newton. That's where,
somewhere
yeah, that's
like
where
that.
We were last year. Yeah.
With in between the two cities right there. But
that's right.
I think the girl, and I applaud the girls' union for trying to get the best 8 teams down to the U.S. Cellular Center.
I can't complain. People are like, oh, you're there with Dowling. And I'm like, that's okay. You're going to have to beat some really great teams to get to state. I think that's the point. And we like the change up of, instead of having the knockdown drag out region that, you know, sadly some of our local opponents are in, with just all of the metro teams. I would rather kind of spread a little bit. I appreciate that.
Makes it a little bit more representative.
Right.
So,
right.
That's
Absolutely.
Always a good thing. We mentioned that you have the title co-coach this year.
Yeah, absolutely. My longtime assistant coach. I mean, it's not as if this is like a new role for us. It's just a new title for us. I've worked with Tim Johnson for, I don't know, I think I've been at Kennedy 19 years, and I think we've worked together for, you know, 16 maybe. And so we are, you know, best friends, and just it's always pans out that we do the position in a cooperative manner anyway. But this year, yeah, I had another opportunity that I wanted to pursue, and this was our best scenario for letting that happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So you turn the reins, though. If people aren't familiar with it, you turn the reins over to Tim, and then you had
left.
A little assignment.
That's right.
You went down to Rio.
I did.
To be a part of the United States volleyball team at the Paralympic Games.
That is right. Back in April, I got an email from the head coach, and he was looking to make a team leader change and asked if I would be interested. And immediately I said, well, yes. And then we had some early conversations, and I reached out to all of my bosses, and Aaron Stecker is one. And I said, what do you think? He goes, well, as in everything, you know, he's just a remarkable man. He just said, well, of course you're going to do it. Let's just figure out how we're going to have you do it. And one of the options that I suggested was to have Tim be my head coach. And he said that, yeah, that is a great, because the athletes are super familiar with him. And it was when I accepted the position was late April. And then I've been with the team since then. And we went to a couple different competitions this summer. We went to the Netherlands and the team won there. We hosted Russia in a friendly series in conjunction with the U.S. Open in May. And then, of course, they qualified for the Paralympics, and we were in Paralympics in September. So I was gone from my team the 1st through the 20th, which is a long stretch, but I was back on the 20th for a City High match.
Yeah, make sure you get back.
I flew in, and then, yeah, it's like, there we are, yeah. It was remarkable.
But it's a situation, you can't pass anything like that up.
It's like it is clearly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I was just humbled and honored that Bill thought of me, and that the team embraced me and allowed me to do the work so I could serve them. I don't know if everyone's familiar with the role of a team leader and what the team leader essentially does. It's basically like the director of ops in a collegiate program meets, you know, team manager meets, you know, counselor. You know, it's like you serve as the bridge between the coaching staff and the athletes themselves. So a lot of my responsibilities were taking care of logistics, yes, but then also finding out what the athletes would need and figuring out a way to make that happen within the realm of the structure and the schedule that the coaches have put up.
In Brazil.
I know, yes. That was a little tricky, yeah. Hosting one of my tasks was to figure out where we could host a family and friends gathering. In Brazil. I'm like, no problem. we can figure this out. So yeah, one of those types of things.
Yeah. Just a great experience and really good volleyball. It's fantastic volleyball.
It was great volleyball. The team, I don't know if everyone follows the Paralympics, but the team won gold medal. And that was the first time the women's national team from US had picked up the gold several times, just like silver to China. And then I guess the beauty of it was we lost to China in the preliminaries in Rio and then came back and met them in the finals. And with the change of the strategy, we beat them easily in the finals. It was 3-0, and everyone's like, well, that was good strategy. They changed the blocking scheme against them. And yeah, it was great volleyball.
Yeah, and pretty remarkable. Imagine a lot of great stories that you ran across and met other people from around the world.
From around the world.
It was remarkable.
It is remarkable. The dining hall itself within the athlete village is, I think I heard, 8 football fields big. So it's an incredible facility. And that was my favorite part, is just sitting at the table and like, you could see everybody would wear like their gear. And so like, oh, there's Iran and there's Egypt and there's, you know, Nigeria and there's Canada, and there's Mexico, and they're just like sitting and dining with you. You could hear all the different languages. It was that was my probably my favorite memory. Yeah. Winning the gold was really great, but yeah, that was another memory. Yeah,
yeah, and a lot of lifelong
friendships. Absolutely.
Yeah, down there. And yeah, like you said, is this something you plan on keep on doing, or is this a once
The athletes have been reaching out. They're like, are you still with us the rest of the, you know, the next quad? And I said, I'll do it as long as they'll have me. And we have our big gold medal celebration the weekend after the state tournament, and that will be at University of Central Oklahoma, where the team trains. That's their, you know, Paralympic training site. And, you know, all of our sponsors will be there, Moulton, Mizuno, USA Volleyball reps, the town of Edmond, all of their reps will be there. And so that particular celebration is coming up, and that's the last, I guess, gathering of the quad. And then we roll into the next quad in 2017. And so we'll see. Bill and I will have Coach Hammeter and I will have a conversation. And if they will have me, I'll still stay. Yeah, it's a great gig, and I love this team. I really love the staff too, so it's a good fit.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of great memories and
absolutely,
great experience to get to go down to Rio like that and just see some different culture and whatnot and
exactly
amazing stuff. And well, now you got to get 20 days away, but now you're back. Now you got the focusing from the red, white, and blue to the green and gold.
That's right. Yeah. Just a lot of colors. Yeah. My closet just kind of expanded as far as like, oh, this is the USA part. This is the Kennedy part. Yeah. It's great. I feel blessed with the opportunity. It gives me kind of renewed passion for everything that I do when you have those other opportunities as well. So,
And not only Tim Johnson, but other members of your staff had to
every single one of them. We have 8 total on our staff. We have a very large program, about 115 kids in our program. So that equates to a lot of staff. So we have a lot of staff, and every single one stepped up, and we slide and we kind of, you know, help and we share. We've all been together for quite a while, and it's a remarkable team in itself, the coaching staff. And then we always feel great support from our entire administration. And so it's a great spot. It's a great spot. Yep. I feel blessed to work at Kennedy.
It's kind of like volleyball.
Yep.
Somebody moves to this area,
someone's got to shift and slide. Yep, that's right.
A very good analogy right there. So before I go, what is this monkey deal?
I have no idea. Is that fair?
How did that
I don't
get
know.
Started?
They wanted to start their own Twitter account, which is fine. I think that's great. And, you know, with guidance as far as, you know, what's a good idea to post on Twitter. And most of it is just like motivation just to get the student body to the matches. And I think they've always had this stuffed monkey that they carry. You'll see it on our bench if you ever come to our games. His name is Vaughn the monkey, and he comes, and I think from there they just Volleyball Monkey, they made it his account, and then it became their account, and several of the athletes are admins on the account, and so that's Volleyball Monkey. And it's interesting because now Prairie has Volleyball Cow, and I think there's Linmar has one, and I can't even remember what their animal is, but I don't understand it, and I guess I don't have to completely understand it, but it's some one of their little
sometimes
things,
the girls, yeah. Volleyball players are a little out there.
Yes, it's an interesting culture in itself.
It is with the chanting and the different shoelaces and everything
the
going
heel
on.
Heel clicks on aces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's always something. Yeah.
There's always something going on.
It's great. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, Marshalltown.
Marshalltown
on Tuesday.
That's right. At home at Kennedy, and then, you know, Lord willing, with a win, we'll play, like you indicated, Roosevelt or Dowling Catholic on Halloween.
On Halloween night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I know. I'll probably have to cost him out
another
or something.
Big 6-day.
Yeah. another gap in there. We'll have to find a scrimmage or something. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, great to hear about all the doings in Rio. And,
yeah,
great
thank
to
you.
Have you down.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right. Continued success with the Cougars.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll get into the football playoffs. And we'll do that when we come back here on the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner right here on KGYM.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, you should be thinking about high school sports, not your business. I understand. I'm Colin Forrest with Holmes Murphy. We handle the worry factor for businesses like yours every day. We're always thinking ahead to find insurance solutions that lower your risk, your costs, and maybe even your blood pressure. Right now, take a break and focus on what the coaches have to say. And when you're back in the office Monday, find out who we are, how we think, and what we do to make your business life less stressful at HOLMESMurphy.com. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead.
If you can't count on your car, you can't count on getting anywhere, like work. That doesn't help you get ahead. But J.D. Buyrider can. They'll work out a monthly payment you can afford, and your vehicle will include a zero deductible, 36-month, 36,000-mile limited warranty, and oil changes for the life of your loan. Get a vehicle you can afford and depend on at J.D. Buyrider in Cedar Rapids. Ask for your Booster Club bonus, and they'll give you $250 towards your down payment, plus $250 to the Booster Club of your choice. J.D. Buyrider, 3837 First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
Some people are born to serve. They go above and beyond, acting bravely to keep the rest of us safe and secure. They're the men and women of our military, and at Super 8 Hotels, we'd like to thank them for their service with 15% off any stay for active and retired military. It's a great stay at a great discount with amenities like free high-speed internet and free breakfast. We're honored to serve those who serve our country every day. Super 8 Hotels. Learn more and stay super at super8.com/military.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
9:35, back with you in the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner program at KGYM. Our thanks to Michelle Goodall for joining us here, the Kennedy volleyball coach. And we're going to go from volleyball to football. And, of course, in about 25 minutes or so, the big streaming event of the year will commence. Fingers crossed. And we will know the brackets for this year's state football playoffs. John Haggerty joining me here in studio. I think it was we were on Bowl 2 of Chile when the teams were announced last night at about 12:20. So they didn't get it out before midnight like they thought they would, but there were a lot of late games, including ours last night. They probably had to go through, and then you got to make sure all the scores are right because there were a couple I saw that were wrong by the in the association website, and get those changed. And there are a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot for the boys in Boone.
In addition to that, this is the first year there are going to be some at-large wild cards, and so they had to sit down and try and work their way through that and decide who's worthy of still getting in, even though they weren't a district champ or runner-up. But as some things change, other things stay the same. We had Chile last night,
yep,
but now we're not going to know the pairings for another 25 minutes.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully the stream won't crash or whatever, or somebody won't break in like they did nationwide and worldwide yesterday. I don't think anyone's going to try to sabotage this, but you never know.
Well, let's hope in Iowa on a Saturday morning that we're safe.
Yeah, let's hope that is the case. Well, some very interesting things last night. I think 4A was pretty much cut and dry. The only big questions were, was it going to be Kennedy? Was it going to be West? Was it going to be Wash? Was it going to be Cedar Falls? Lewis Central did sneak in over in the western part of the state, but you pretty much got the 8 over in the western and central part that you thought you were going to get in 4A.
It's fairly clear cut, I think, on the western side in terms of who the big horses in the race are, and not quite so much maybe in the eastern half, but that's right. Urbandale got bumped out by Lewis Central, which was maybe a little less surprising.
Yeah, and But other than that, it's pretty much status quo as far as Class 4A on the western half of the state is concerned. Hats off to Western Dubuque. First year in 4A, everyone was concerned about them making the jump up. Now, granted, I think they would admit it as well, they weren't in the toughest district in Class 4A, but hey, you play the games and they got second place.
Runner up to a 5-4 team in North Scott, so that's right. People would consider that a little weaker district, but hey, we used to say this all the time, Scott, you just got to get there and then let the chips fall where they may, and they're in the big dance.
Yep, they are. In 3A, very interesting, and this was what one of the questions was when the playoff teams were unveiled last night. The biggest question at 3A is, which way is Pella going?
Yes.
Are they going to go east, or are they going to go west? And it looks as though, you take a look at geography, it looks as though Pella is going to have to come over to the eastern part of the state.
That's right, and I think a lot of people here, especially Xavier, Solon, West Delaware, don't like the thought of that at all, but that's just the way it is, and it's a tricky situation because of the central location geographically, and West High School Athletic Association may surprise us, but I think you're right.
Yeah, one of the Glenwood got one of the wild cards. They're out in southwestern Iowa, but you've got Storm Lake, Sergeant Bluff, Luton, Webster City, Boone, Norwalk, Carroll, Creston, and Glenwood that are all western half of the state.
Yeah, a little
teams.
Overload on the west, so that means Pella's probably coming east.
I got a feeling Pella's coming east, and they're probably. They may get a Waverly Shellrock in the first round as Waverly got in by one of the other wild card in 3A.
Well, I think the conventional wisdom, unless you have a horse in the race, is that they'd like to try and keep Xavier and Pella away from each other, but the people in West Delaware and Solon don't want to hear that.
No. And you never know.
You don't know.
What's going to make it so interesting, because are they going to seed it? Are they, going to take 1 through 8? The top four being district champions, the bottom four being a wild card or runner-up.
And that kind of brings us back to maybe a big picture we should talk about just briefly here, and that is that things have changed this year in addition to there only being 16 teams. First one is that the brackets, once set, will not be reshuffled. There will be no reshuffling of the deck like there has been in previous years. The east-west emphasis will probably remain just because of geography and travel time, but even that could be thrown out the window somewhat because Friday nights, you don't have to get back to school the next morning like you used to on a Monday or a Wednesday. So, again, some things have stayed the same, other things have changed.
Yeah. Moving to 2A. Waukon was the odd team out in District 4 with North Fayette Valley and Union. The wild cards, interestingly enough, Centerville got one, and they are in with a 5-4 record. And we'll go over some of the teams that are going to be feeling pretty bad this
yes.
morning in some of the classes. But boy, oh boy, you talk about it's going to happen. Probably it's going to happen either in the quarterfinals or the semifinals. You have the possibility. You got four good teams. You got North Fayette Valley, you got Union, you got Mount Vernon, and you got Williamsburg in there. Mount Vernon put up, 750 yards or something last night? They had 500 almost by halftime. We've seen that aerial circus before.
We saw that in the finals last year against Spirit Lake, and so they're and they get stronger as the season goes on. But I'm guessing that the Iowa High School Athletic Association is going to probably try and keep North Fayette Valley and Mount Vernon as far apart for as long as they can. But again, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know how that's going to play out and who's going to go where. And also, you've got in 2A, you've got two teams way up in the far northwestern corner in Central Lyon and Boyden-Hull Rock Valley who really aren't anywhere near anybody else. They may have to play in the first round again.
And again, we're back to geography playing a bit of a but then you've got to think about seeding, too, the strength of districts and some of those things. There's a lot of cards that have to be juggled here by the Iowa High School Athletic Association.
And we wonder if they're going to talk about that coming up. My guess is probably not.
I'm guessing not. They don't want to open any cans of worms anywhere. This is the way it is, and then everybody, let's just move on.
Yeah. Class 1A, we were feeling bad for Butch Peterson and West Branch. And then all
not
of a sudden,
morning.
Lo and behold, we saw they got a wild card last night, even though they lost that game to Clayton Ridge. Now, the other question is, Luke Lenock got hurt in the overtime, did not come back. Don't know how serious that injury is, but we hope it's not anything that's going to keep him out next Friday.
Just another in an amazing string of injuries, and I say amazing in an unfortunate way for the West Branch team. But you know what? The good news is you're not coming back and playing on Wednesday. You've got a whole week to recover.
Which is great.
Yes, it is.
Which is the best part about it. The other wild card in 1A went to West Lyon. And so Western Christian, Hinton, and West Lyon all made it in that very tough district number one. Sigourney Kyoto knocked off Wilton last night, so they got in. And Van Meter and Madrid played a great game for the District 6 championship. And there you are both in there, of course. Pella Christian and Regina. Regina's going to have a tough trip to the championship number 7 this year.
There's a lot of people who think that this is the year that Regina may not bring home the whole enchilada, and that is because of Pella Christian. Now, there's a lot of football that's got to be played between now and then, but that community of Pella, you've got Pella, and then you've got Pella Christian. I mean, my goodness, they know how to play football in that town.
And the Central Dutch aren't bad either.
That's right.
And far as the Iowa Conference is concerned. But yeah, you're going to see Regina's going to take on Pella Christian, and it's going to be before the final. Don't forget about Denver, too. That is a very good football team, undefeated, and they've got some good athletes up there. Class A, everybody thought that if everything went correct and according to form, that it was going to be all three, East Buchanan, Wapsie Valley, and Lisbon getting in. They all finished 6-1, and that was the reason why they brought in those classes. They went to 7 districts, so they have 2 wild cards, because if there was a 3-way tie in the past, one of those teams would be out. But with the wild card, they are all in, so that helped Lisbon at 8-1 and 6-1 in the district, because they finished 3rd, according to the 17-point rule.
And wouldn't that have been a shame if Lisbon hadn't made it in? So that was the intent of the at-large wild card thinking when they put that in.
Yep. So all three of those teams got in, and BGM was the other team that got in by virtue of their win earlier this year against Belle Plaine. Belle Plaine, I believe, dropped their last 3. Tough way to end the year for the Plainsmen over there, but Gladbrook, Rhinebeck, Hudson, and BGM, and Belle Plaine, 4 pretty good teams in that District 5 of Class A, and only 3 of them got in.
Then it'll be interesting to see how they match up those at-large wildcard teams with the first district champions or first seeds and other. So there's a lot of mystery here involved still when this selection process comes out, and a lot of it is related to the wildcards.
Yeah. 8-player. And we knew one of these teams would be out, and it ended up being Lone Tree. Midland lost last night to Lone Tree, 70-62, I believe it was. Iowa Valley got just enough of a margin of victory in their game against Waco to sneak by Lone Tree. The point averages went like this. Midland had a point differential average of 11 on a scale of 17. You can get as much as 17. For a 17-point win, obviously. Iowa Valley was 10.17. Lone Tree was 9.83. That's probably 1 or 2 points throughout a 6-game district season.
And, you know, what the sad part about that is that while we've got the wild card that can allow for those situations to get the teams that should be in there in 8-player and in 4A, they don't have that situation. So this is where a situation for Lone Tree just got aced out.
In fact, you had 2 other districts with the same thing.
Yep.
In 8-man, Coon Rapids Baird and Grettinger Terrell Ruthven Ayrshire. Salute to all those people up in Lakes Country. 2 top 10 teams, and they are both out of the playoffs because Arweva beat Audubon last night and created a 3-way tie, and Coon Rapids Baird was out, and they're an 8-1 team that's out. GTRA is a 7-2 team that is out as well.
And that can happen in 8-player, but that's just the craziness that 8-player football is to me.
Yeah, and so it wasn't only as far as the folks in Lone Tree that aren't feeling very good this morning.
That's right, they're not alone.
No. All right, we always like to do this. Some of the teams that aren't feeling real good this morning. Newton finished up 6-3. They are out of the playoffs. Cedar Falls, well, you got a feel for the Tigers. They came down to Kingston and beat Washington. They didn't get anything for it. They were the odd team out in that 3-team fiasco.
Also finished 6-3, a perennial playoff contender every year. But the issue with Cedar Falls this year was they got caught by the 17-point rule. They did not have a great offense. Let's just be honest about it. They had a very good defense, but they couldn't score to get the point differential in enough of their district games.
Clinton finished up 6-3, and they are in the outs. Muscatine, I know Soko got hurt toward the end of the year. I don't know if he played last night or not, but that's a 5-4 team. That's a really good football team.
I feel for both Clinton and Muscatine because they had quality programs, and in most years under the old system, probably would have been in with those 6-3 records.
3A, Dallas Center Grimes, and Gilbert and Ballard all finished out at 6-3. Webster City and Boone got in. That was a very tough district in district number two. And taking a look as well, Clear Creek Amana, 7-2, yep. And they missed out on the playoffs.
And that's a shame, but the up-and-coming program, and you know they're just beating on the door, and look out for them in years to come.
Yeah, Matt Hughes has got something really, really big going over there. Some of the other teams moving on to Class 2A right now, Waukon and Cascade both finished up 6-3. They're going to be on the outside looking in. And moving on as well to Class 1A, some of the teams, Lake Mills finished up 6-3. Wilton finished 7-2. They're going to be on the outside looking in. Panorama finished 7-2. They're going to be on the outside looking in as well. Good thing all of those teams in Class A got in, but you got Grundy Center ended up 6-3. They are not going to be making the playoffs. New London had their best year in a long time, finished 6-3. Unfortunately, they're going to be out of it. And we talked about the eight player teams, the 8-1s and the 7-2s that aren't going to make it. So that's what's going to cause people to talk now.
Right, and there is no perfect system. You're never going to devise it to be absolutely inclusive of all those teams. But, you know, in my world, I think if you go 8-1 and you don't make it, like say in 4A where there's no at-large wild cards, if you go 8-1 and don't make it, which Washington, Cedar Rapids Washington almost did, that would be a real crime in my book.
Yeah, and Waterloo West had a shot.
Exactly.
To finish 8-1 and not get in there. I don't know if there's not a perfect scenario and a perfect system. I know some people were talking about throwing out, add another round to the playoffs, give byes.
Right. Start a week earlier
and
get rid of week zero.
Right, and start a week earlier. A lot of other states do that, and I don't think it would be a bad idea, but then you still have, you know, what's the difference between a 6-3 and a 5-4 team that played in maybe a tougher district? You're still going to have those questions.
Always. And at least the Iowa High School Athletic Association has made modifications and will listen to the coaching union and the committees and so forth that present them with things.
So we'll know here in about 10 minutes or so who is going to play whom and when and where. As far as our teams are concerned here in the Cedar Rapids-Marion metro area, you've got the Prairie Hawks, the Washington Warriors, and the Xavier Saints have all advanced to the playoffs. From the South Gym listening area, it's a bevy of teams.
Yes.
West, City High, Regina, West Branch in, and Solon in as well. And then teams from the surrounding area here that we are interested in as well. Benton Community making it. We mentioned Solon, West Delaware, Mount Vernon, Williamsburg also in there as well. And make sure I didn't forget anyone. Lisbon. And East Buchanan from the area. So a lot of good teams around. A lot of good football this year.
Well represented in our area is always the Lynn Johnson County. And that's why we have a North Gym and a South Gym, folks.
Yeah. A lot of people ask, where are the East and the West? Well, we got to do our best with these three to keep them going.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. Let's do that and keep it going here. So we're going to be interested spectators here in a few minutes. So we'll hunker down and get ready for that. And you have a few trivia questions you want to throw out at me real quick?
Do we have just a little time?
Yes. Pick a couple and throw me out a couple of trivia questions.
Well, when you're a retired recovering educator, you have time to go read 17-page documents on procedural playoff. So I've just got a couple
I
of questions.
Them.
I know. And I did not provide you with the answers, so Scott does not know, but... let's just start off with some easy ones. Iowa High School Athletic Association, it can approve playoff site doubleheaders, which we've had the last couple of years at Kingston
Correct.
Stadium, but only in rounds 1 and 2. But, true or false, they will not allow doubleheaders to be held on natural grass facilities.
Oh. I didn't read that skimming part.
I think in case maybe it rained during the first game and they tore up the field.
I'm going to say true.
No, that's false. They can do that.
One.
That's
See,
right.
There you go.
Both teams are required to be on the field during the playoffs, playing of the national anthem.
Yes, that is true.
In playoffs, it is true, yes. During round 1 and 2, the home team band is allowed to play on the field before the game and during halftime.
Yes.
That is true.
Did not used to be.
That's a change. Exactly right. Here's an odd one, but speaks to the changing of the times. The use of drones, unmanned aerial spaceships. is prohibited for any purpose at the site event, but there's one exception. Can you tell me the exception?
One exception?
Yes.
I know they're banned. No, I cannot.
If you have in writing by the Iowa High School Athletic Association ahead of time, and it's usually for law enforcement or municipal reasons.
All right.
You got to read the fine print for that one. How about this one? A lot of people always ask about this. All proceeds from gross ticket sales shall be sent to the Iowa High School Athletic Association in addition to all the unsold tickets.
I don't know if it's all, but they get a good portion.
It is true. They all have to go back to the Iowa High School Athletic Association, but they are reimbursed 11%.
Right. Yes.
And if it's less than $700, the host school gets $700 minimum.
Yeah. I know it gets back to the school somehow.
All right. How about this one? Deflategate. Each team must present 3 game balls to the umpire prior to the game for inspection.
Yes.
Absolutely true.
Yep. Brady here.
Yeah. Okay, now here's an odd one. I've asked several people this one, and they kind of scratch their head. After the outcome of the semifinals or the final game at the Unidome, there is still one way that the losing team can be declared the winner. What is it?
If the... it's something to do with a sportsmanship codicil, I believe.
And that's what everybody comes up with. But the answer is, if the winning team was found to have practiced on the Unidome field a day or more prior to their game.
Oh, so who are they asking? And like Mark Farley, give him a call. Hey, did you see this team here?
But can you even imagine somebody not knowing that, inadvertently practicing on the field, winning a state championship, and having it taken away, and the runner-up becomes the champion?
That wouldn't be fun.
That's crazy. Here's one for parochial schools. During the playoffs, prayer shall not be permitted during any sponsored playoff contest.
True.
That's true. And our final one, love this one. Any spectators found to be excessively jumping up and down in the bleachers can be ejected from the contest.
That has never happened, but they can be.
That is true, but they get a warning first.
Oh. Is that a 5-yard flag, too?
I don't think it's a penalty, but they do get a warning.
I did okay. I did all right.
So there you go. Some fine print from the playoffs.
And we'll have playoff games. I'll let you know where we will be at coming up on Monday here. And looking forward to it, John. It'll be fun.
Always very exciting. Get into that second season. And, you know, we've had so many great playoff runs, Scott, through the last 14 years we've worked together. I can only imagine what's in store for us this year.
All right. And we'll find out who the playoff matchups are coming up here in just a couple of moments. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll get you to ESPN programming coming up right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use